Thank you for joining me again today. And this week on God Is, we've been talking about the rest that God provides to us. Our starting point is the same as that of Jesus. We begin where he begins, and that is a particular kind of rest. The most important rest a person will ever have, that is, spiritual rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this rest here is not physical or mental or emotional, it's spiritual. Coming to Jesus is the most important move you will make or have ever made because Jesus deals with what separates us from God, what puts you and I at war with God, and that is our sin. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of those who will come to him. He became our substitute on that cross, and then he roared back to life, coming up out of the grave a few days later alive forevermore. Jesus is the resurrection and the life over death for those who will or have come to Jesus. And that is the message of these verses that we've been reading in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is the main character, and he stands uprightly amidst the people to teach and to preach. In this chapter, Jesus deals with a wicked generation of people who rejected him. He denounces them. He pronounces God's judgment on two cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and then a third, Capernaum. The verses leading up to the ones we've been dealing with this week are full of the judgment of God on sin. And yet, right after the judgments are pronounced, Jesus still extends that hand of grace and the mercy of God. He gives an invitation, "Come to me." That's in Matthew 11 and verse 28. This is common practice for Jesus. Alongside judgment comes the offer for mercy. And I thank God for this. My sins definitely deserve his wrath, his justified anger for my sin. But Jesus has invited me to come to him. And as I come, he is already forgiving me. There is promised judgment coming on sinners who reject Jesus' compassionate invitation to experience the mercy of God. If you believe in Jesus by faith, you will be rescued from God's judgment on your sin. But if you reject Jesus, if you refuse to exercise your faith in him, then you will not be rescued from God's judgment on your sin. This is what Jesus is clearly saying. Have you come to Jesus? Have you heard his invitation to you and accepted it? If not, I want to encourage you to do so today. I pray that today will be the day that Christ saves you, rescues you, delivers you from your sin. If you'll just reach out your hand for his, he'll grip you. And as you exercise your faith in Jesus, that is, even though you cannot physically see him, if you believe in him, I promise you, you'll receive the rest that you so desperately have been missing and seeking. You'll enjoy rest from war with God, because through Christ you will no longer be an enemy of God, but rather, remarkably, God's friend. Do not resist, rather surrender. And I'm standing by, ready and willing to pray with you, to tell you more about the Master Jesus, and to send along to you some resources that will help you know what it means to follow after Jesus, to be his disciple. All you have to do is drop me an email, just a simple message that says you want to believe in Christ, you want to come to Jesus, and I'll write back as soon as I receive your simple note. Now, my email address, which will be repeated later, is this, mark@markaswallow.com. mark@markaswallow.com. Please write to me right away. This week, I've taken us into Matthew chapter 11 and verses 25 through 30. Thus far, we have discussed verses 25, 26, and 28, but we have not yet understood the deep and penetrating meaning of verse 27. And of course, we have not yet looked in depth at verses 29 and 30, which describe what our rest feels like for those of us who trust in Christ by accepting his gracious invitation to us. So what I'd like to do is talk with you today about verse 27, and then on Monday next week, pick up again at verses 29 through 30 of Matthew 11. We'll deal with these two verses early next week before moving beyond this passage to see what else Jesus has to teach us about finding our rest in God, in the Gospels. Is this acceptable to you? All right. Hearing no objections, let's look together at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. And I want us to hear verse 27 in context. So pick up your copy of the Bible if you're not driving and join me as I read Matthew chapter 11 verses 25 through 28. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again now, let me read just verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Do not let what I've just read confuse you. It's very straightforward, and the best way to understand this is to break down the verse into four parts. It reads this way anyway. Part one, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. The me here is Jesus, and the my Father here is God. So Jesus is saying that all things have been handed over to Jesus from God. God makes the handover to Jesus, or we can say God the Father makes the handover to God the Son. And what are the all things? Put simply, due to our time constraints, all things are everything that God has, Jesus has. And everything that God is, Jesus is. Let me give you an example from elsewhere in Matthew's gospel that will help us to understand this. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus says the following before ascending from the earth, before returning to heaven. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. God the Father has all authority, correct? Yes. I hope you agree. No one has more authority than God. And God gives that authority to Jesus. And this is only one example of what God has, Jesus has. Who God is, Jesus is. That is what all things in verse 27 of Matthew 11 means. I can say a lot more about this, but let's move on to part two. Part two of verse 27 is this. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Again, this is straightforward. Since Jesus is God's Son, who knows Jesus the Son better than God the Father? God is Father, Son, and Spirit together as one forever. The triune God has no beginning and has no end. So in the three in one, the Father surely knows the Son. They are eternal. They always know one another perfectly. They're one. And on to part three of verse 27. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Jesus is still speaking with clarity. Everything I just said applies again. Since God is Jesus' Father, who knows God the Father better than Jesus the Son? God is Father, Son, and Spirit together as one forever. The triune God has no beginning and has no end. So in the three in one, the Son surely knows the Father. They are eternal. They always know one another perfectly. They're one. Now, we find this a little easier to understand because Jesus was human. So we can picture this. Jesus comes from heaven where he has been living in intimacy with God the Father in the Trinity and takes on human flesh to live as a man. Jesus is still a part of the Trinity. Jesus still enjoys perfect intimacy with his Father. But when Jesus comes from heaven to earth, he brings with him the perfect knowledge of God that we all need and want. Whether a person knows that they want it or not is, of course, a different story. And now the final part, the fourth part of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. And to anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Wow, I say it again, wow, this is perhaps the most important part of the Gospels, this statement right here. And what does it mean? This is the most succinct way I can think to put it to you. If Jesus decides to reveal to you who God is, then you will know who God is. Let me say that again. Oh, this is awesome. If Jesus decides to reveal to you who God is, then you will know who God is. Honestly, I'm speechless. Probably the best thing for me to do is to be quiet and to let that sink in for you. Think about this all weekend. I won't be with you tomorrow and Sunday, so I will be quiet. Oh, friends, Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. What God has, Jesus has. Who God is, Jesus is. Nobody knows Jesus better than God. Nobody knows God better than Jesus. And if Jesus decides to reveal to you who God is, then you will know who God is. Did you get that? What God has, Jesus has. Who God is, Jesus is. Nobody knows Jesus better than God. Nobody knows God better than Jesus. And if Jesus decides to reveal to you who God is, then you will know who God is. And how does verse 27 fit with God is our rest? I'll tell you how, and then I must go. If Jesus decides to reveal to you who God is, then you will know who God is, and when you know who God is, you will have rest. When you know God, you will be at rest. God is our rest. Join me again on Monday as we continue to learn about He who is our rest.